سلامت ذهن و روان با دبی امینی.
Healthy mind and soul.
سلامی دوباره دارم خدمت شما شنوندگان عزیز رادیو ایران به بخش دوم برنامه سلامت ذهن و روان. خوش آمدید. در خدمت دو میهمان عزیز هستیم، خانم دکتر آزیتا سایان که ایشون بنیانگذار و مدیر شرکت Embrace Growth هستند، نویسنده دو کتاب پرفروش با عناوین صحبت‌های زنانه و کارهای ناتمام، و همچنین دکتر چارلز فاستر مدیر تحقیقات مؤسسه چستنات هیل در لس آنجلس، نویسنده و مؤلف 16 کتاب که یکی از کتاب‌های ایشون با عنوان Why Couples Fight، چرا زوج‌ها دعوا می‌کنند، موضوع برنامه امروز ما هست. Dr. Foster, I want to start my question again with you.
Yes.
And I want to know how much do you think couples fights has anything to do with their backgrounds in their childhood, what happened to them in their past. Basically, I think it's called the baggage they bring to the relationship.
Yeah. Well, I think if you try to look at why the deficits or issues that people bring to their marriage or relationships that add to the probability that they'll end up fighting and getting into power struggles, there's a lot of variables. Mm-hmm. There's the modeling that they saw going on between their parents. There's the labeling that the parents did towards the child, the ways they might have been labeled by the parents mm-hmm. as they were growing up. There's something I call family skills. There was either they saw the parents as being very skilled at negotiating issues and they learned these skills, or the parents were horribly unskilled. Mm-hmm. And they never learned any skills. They learned negative skills growing up. Those are just some of the issues that might or might not have been going on in childhood.
But when couples come to you seeking your help to solve their problems now, do you look into the roots of these things, their childhood, or you look at it differently?
I look at it differently. Because there are so many issues that might lead, you know, to causing the problems that don't have anything to do with the childhood or the past, and these are endless. I just start with the problems that as they exist right now in the couple. So it's like, okay, let me understand what's going on now. You're having a problem. You're always fighting, or you're fighting about certain things. Let's look at how that happens, what that looks like, and what needs to happen to break this cycle of anger and power struggle. So I'll just start working at helping them break it. Let's start introducing a tool, a learning tool, so you can take the first step. Why, for example, let's see if you can learn to listen to one another and hear each other and understand one another. And sometimes that's easy, sometimes that's hard. Well, if it's hard, why is that hard? Why is it that one or both people is really having trouble understanding? Maybe it's because the person who it needs to be understood is not communicating very well. Maybe it's the person who needs to understand can't let in new information. Well, why is that? And then that needs to be explored at that time and understood in that moment, in that situation. Why is this person having trouble understanding that person? And we just figure that out. Mm-hmm. We just figure that out. And we have to make a distinction. I make a distinction between the roots of the problem and what needs to be done to solve the problem. Mm-hmm. And the roots may be very deep, but sometimes, just in my experience, what needs to be done to resolve the problem doesn't go very deep. That there's an understanding or a skill or an insight or an approach that can be given to this person who's having trouble letting in what someone else says, that can get right to the solution.
Thank you. Dr. Soyan, شما هم approach... Oh, I'm sorry. I switched to Farsi. do you have the same approach when couples come to you seeking your help, or you're going to try to reach out to the root of the problem?
I have found that most people would like techniques and tools and, to patch things up really quickly, just solve this problem that I have. You know, it's like you want to take a pill and lose weight,
Easiest, shortest, fastest way.
Easiest, shortest. And certainly I'm very good at offering a very effective therapy. I have never found it useful not to deal with the root of anything and just giving people tools, because for me, that's, giving a machete to a child. Yes, a machete is very effective for cutting through a lot of things, but I don't think that people who've never dealt with their own internal problems are going to be able to make very useful, very effective use of the tools. Mm-hmm. So I think tools are wonderful, but tools should be given to people who have some awareness of who they are, what's moving inside of them, what's guiding their decision-making and their reactions and their emotions, and be able to distinguish those.
Mm-hmm.
As far as what's happening from their past, unlike most therapists, even though I do believe we are impacted by our past, I believe that it is our interpretation of what has happened that affects us and not necessarily our parents. Because, I'm the fourth child of a family, and I don't see my parents nor act towards them the way my siblings do. It has nothing to do with what my parents did or didn't do. They treated us pretty much all the same. But it very much has to do with how I acted towards them, how I treated my parents, how I interpreted what they did or didn't do, and therefore made my own decisions based on that and the conclusions that I drew. So I think parents are whatever, whoever they are, and they've done whatever they've done or not done. I think we live in an age where people are a lot more sensitive and aware of things that have affected them. But I really do believe that a lot of therapy spends a massive amount of time and finances digging up the past with the parents and getting people very stuck in a situation that can never get resolved. What my parents did or didn't do isn't really what my problem is. My responsibility is, what did I react to? How did I interpret it? And since the power is inside my hands, now I can choose to recontextualize, reinterpret, and come up with a powerful and empowering context for my childhood, one that moves me along, not that gets me stuck there forever on a therapist's couch, never being able to resolve that, which is what a lot of therapy has done to people, which is why a lot of people go to therapists and then they lose, their hope forever resolving their issues, because that methodology actually gets them stuck.
Mm-hmm.
What is impactful is when people take 100% responsibility for their own experiences in their childhood, their own interpretations of what happened to them. I'll give you an example of two patients I had. Both of them came in experiences of having been molested as a child. Both of them by an uncle. One of them interpreted it and through the therapy went and sat down with the uncle and they resolved the issue. They cried, they hugged each other. The uncle said, I'm sorry. The patient said, you know, this is a really bad thing. It really affected me, but I can understand how under the circumstances all of this happened. It was a very powerful, impactful closure. The other person had been in therapy for, I think, over 20 years, had never gotten this resolved, and was unwilling to move past this issue. And it finally ended up ending her marriage and getting her on medication because she couldn't resolve it for herself that this has happened. So the same thing happened, but one person couldn't get out of it, and one person was able to create a more powerful context, ask for forgiveness, and move on.
I see.
So I think people determine by their own way of managing the experiences in their life what the outcome is going to be. And I'm sure that Dr. Foster has tons and tons of experience in this area, so I would really like to hear.
Let's hear it then. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more with you, Dr. Sayan, about how important how we interpret the past is compared to just what the past is in and of itself. But I did want to comment on the use of tools and techniques and whether that is how that is sustainable, how that makes for sustainable change. The essence of any work with somebody is relapse prevention. How do you do work so that you prevent the work from leading to relapse over the next 6 months or 6 years? And if the work is directed in that direction, then you're going to be looking for what is going on that would make these tools that you've given these people to use, what would make that fall apart and not be something that they could continue to use successfully over time. And if you're not digging into that piece of it, your work is not complete. And so whatever that might happen to be, you explore that and you go into that and you give the couple time to work on that. And that, you know, of course, as you know well, Dr. Sayan, that you never know where that's going to take you. But if the work is not complete unless you've done that work of relapse prevention.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree 100%. I think any growth, however, any growth contains some relapse. In other words, you know, come into the therapy and they say, you know, the problem is that, you know, she always wants to go to her family and I want to go to my family and she never wants to come to my family. And on the surface, you know, we give them the tools to negotiate going to both families and hearing each other out. And okay, so we solved this issue. However, the real underlying issue is, you know, the husband is having an affair and, you know, the fight is just a cover up for, you know, something that's much deeper going on. And that affair by itself has a lot more to do with some other issues that are going on that have to do with their intimacy issues and the fact that, you know, the wife had, you know, some things that happened to her as a child and the husband had something that happened to the child, but they never resolved those. Mm-hmm. So now all of that is in the package. And if we only help them resolve, you know, this issue of whose house they're going to for the weekend, we may have given them the tools to negotiate that. But the whole underlying catastrophe of their marriage and their intimacy is going to go unresolved.
Well, I have, in my experience, fortunately, I have found that in working with couples, you know, given enough time, all the underlying issues come flying out of the closet, And they're all there, and the one or the other person in the relationship will bring those issues out, and or they'll leave trails of breadcrumbs behind that I can pick up on, and bring those issues out. So yes, and so of course you have to deal with all the underlying issues, but they're there, and they're not hard to find.
No, they're very easy to find. I think, just like you said, the challenge is, are the couple actually willing to stay the course of the therapy in order for it to come up, to come out and get resolved? And frequently, I think one of the challenges for working within the Persian community is that very often one party is very reluctant to come to therapy. And as soon as you get close to the underlying issues, the couple disappear.
Yes, and I know so, that that's true in the Persian community, but I can assure you that is true in all other communities.
Well, I want to add something to this discussion as well. What I feel and what I see is that when couples go to therapists, to couple therapy, they mostly go to the therapist to be the judge between them and say who is right, who is wrong in this relationship. And often the person who, like being, you have to change your manners, maybe you should do it this way, gets kind of defensive and won't want to leave the therapy sessions and say, oh, this therapist is no good. They try to go to another therapist, not realizing that he or she wants to go to another judge to say, oh, the problem is the other person in the relationship. What is your suggestion for couples who are listening to us right now? We just have a few more minutes, actually, maybe just two more minutes to the end of the program. Well, I want to hear it real fast from you, Dr. Soyan, first, and then we're going to listen to Dr. Foster.
I think that's inevitable. And a skilled therapist will create a safe environment for both people to realize that therapy is a situation in which either they're both winning or they're both losing. And the therapist is there to have them both win and ultimately have the relationship win. And that in case it seems that one side is being taken over the other, it's really ultimately not the case. And that if they feel that way, they should say that. And the therapist will address that instead of them going away. So you create the context from the very beginning and lay the foundation for them to realize that these things may come up in fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I couldn't have said it better. And I think just perhaps a slightly different way of saying it is you have to make both people feel, I understand your side of it. I understand where you're coming from. I validate your pain. I validate your struggle. And I'm here to help you as far as possible with your issues and make both people feel that you're there to advocate as much as possible for both of them and for the relationship itself.
Mm-hmm. And may I ask just one thing?
Sure.
Also, I'm sorry, Dr. Foster, I interrupted you.
No, that's fine. I'm done.
Yeah. I think it's really important, and I hope everybody who's listening really gets this point. I think that people coming to therapy or seeking help or having issues in their relationship, if they were able to see this as a huge, huge gift, huge opportunity to grow and become even more powerful version of themselves, not as, oh, our relationship is failing or I'm failing or what's wrong with me, but what a great and amazing opportunity I have to find out things about myself, about intimacy, about my partner, about life, that I may never have had if these issues didn't come up.
Yes, and exactly. That's the hope. That's the hope, and that's the hope that you can give them that makes the struggle of therapy worthwhile.
Yeah. It really is. It really is. It's a huge opportunity to grow. And something that looks like a disaster, when people stick with therapy and really, really get to know themselves and their partner, they will be so grateful that they had this opportunity to grow, because mm-hmm. growth is really beautiful.
Thank you so much, Dr. Sayed. من وقت ندارم که همه چیزو ترجمه کنم، فقط خیلی سریع بگم که پیشنهاد هر دو متخصصین هست که وقتی که میرین به جلسات تراپی بهش به عنوان یک رشد، به عنوان یک یادگیری نگاه بکنید برای بهتر شدن و زیباتر شدن رابطه، و صبر نکنید که مشکلی باشه و برای رفع مشکل بخواین مراجعه بکنید به این عزیزان متخصص. Dr. Soyan, I want to thank you for being with us today. Thank you so much. I know you have a very busy schedule, but it was a pleasure having you.
Thank you, Dr. Foster. It's such an honor and pleasure. Devijan, you are amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Really, I'm honored to be on the show.
Dr. Foster, I want to also thank you for dedicating your time being with us in the studio today. It was really a pleasure having you.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been great being with you, Debbie, and an honor and a pleasure to have met you and to have been with you, Dr. Sayan.
Thank you very much.
و من در آخر از آرمینه عزیزم که کارگردان فنی برنامه امروز بود و به خوبی برنامه را اجرا کرد تشکر بکنم. همگی شما عزیزان رو به خداوند بزرگ میسپارم. روز خوش و سیزده بدر و عید رمضان مبارک.